In the name of Jesus, amen. It's Palm Sunday, and the question is, how low, Jesus, will you go? How low will you go? He comes riding into Jerusalem, not in a chariot, not on a nice-looking horse. He comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a beast of burden. All four gospel writers tell us about this, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All tell us about this entry into Jerusalem. Only two gospel writers tell us about the birth of Christ, but all four mention the triumphal entry. By this time in his ministry, Jesus was well known, as he's kind of at the peak of his popularity. His teaching had spread, the word that he could do miracles, and then the incredible word that he could raise the dead, that got people's attention. That kind of news will spread. And then there's the timing of all of this. This is the Sunday before Passover. Passover was one of the largest festivals for Jewish people. So people from all areas would be flocking into Jerusalem. And when they saw Jesus riding in, people were thinking, you know, this would be great timing. If you're a politician and you're going to announce your candidacy to be king, this would be the perfect opportunity. And so they were excited when they saw Jesus riding in. I mean, this man, he can teach, he can preach, he can do miracles, he can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he can even raise the dead. Certainly he could overthrow the Romans and be our king. And then when he comes riding in, people are excited to see that, and they're thinking, this might be the time. What is Jesus going to announce? Well, Jesus had actually already made an announcement to his disciples. He told them why he was coming into Jerusalem. Not to go higher and higher and higher, but to go lower and lower and lower. Jesus said, I've come to suffer, die, and rise again. How low, Jesus, will you go? Before the week is over, he will go lower and lower and lower. On Thursday, Jesus will wash the feet of the disciples. That's a job for servants. That's how low he will go. He'll go so low as to be like a servant washing the dusty, dirty feet of his disciples. And then he tells them that they are to do the same. Jesus tells them, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. That's low. But Jesus will go lower. Jesus will allow himself to be mocked and beaten and spit upon. Jesus will allow people to speak lies about him and accuse him and not defend himself. And then he will ask God to forgive them for doing that. Jesus, how low will you go? On Friday of Holy Week, Jesus will allow himself to be cursed by men and by God as he hangs crucified on a tree between two actual criminals. What crime did Jesus commit? Who did he deceive? Who did he lie to? The only perfect man that ever lived. He allows himself to be treated as a common criminal. He allows himself to be stricken by God, smitten and afflicted. Isaiah had foretold this some 600 years earlier. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus emptied himself, took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You can't get any weaker than being dead. That's how low Jesus will go. And he does that for you. He does that for you. You can't get lower than Jesus. Jesus gets so low that he pushes us up. He suffers what we should suffer. He pays the price for our sins. He lets God curse him so God would never curse you. That's how low Jesus will go. And he does that for you. He who had no sin becomes sin so you might become in God his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Jesus comes to make you holy. That's one of the reasons we call this Holy Week. Because of the events of this week, Jesus makes you holy. You are not holy in and of yourself, but Jesus makes you holy by his death and by his resurrection. Where there is the shedding of blood, there is the forgiveness of sins, and that's what Christ comes to do for us. And this is history. This is his story that he does for us and for our salvation. But the lowliness continues. Next Sunday we'll celebrate, of course, the resurrection and how our Lord comes back to life after he experiences the lowliness of death and separation from God. But the lowliness continues because God still works in lowly ways. God uses words, simple words, to work faith in our hearts. You hear a man preach and teach, and by those simple words, God creates faith in your heart and in your mind. Lowly. God takes ordinary water, water that comes right out of the faucet, and then he combines it with that word, and then he makes us his children in baptism. It's not water that comes from the Jordan River. It's just regular water. Lowly. God takes ordinary things like wine and bread, and then through that means he gives us the body and blood of our Savior. Lowliness. He comes in lowliness to us. Nothing flashy, just lowly, kind of like a donkey. Also ordinary. And then we have the opportunity to live out that same way with others. And this will never be popular because it is so countercultural. Paul wrote, "Have this mind, have this way of thinking among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What's that saying? Pride, self-centeredness, putting myself first. That's not the way God intended us to be. All of that is a result of sin. And the middle letter of the word sin says it all. I. If you think Jesus came to suffer and die so you wouldn't have to, you will not only be mistaken, but you will be very, very disappointed. Or if you think, well, Jesus came to suffer and die so that I could have a great life on earth, once again, you are not only mistaken, but you will be very disappointed. Jesus' suffering and death actually redeems our suffering and death. It actually gives it purpose and reminds us that God is working through those very lowly events. Historically, it has been Christians who have cared about those the world does not care about. It's fascinating when you travel around the country, most of the hospitals, and I haven't done the numbers, but most or many of the hospitals have Christian names, often named after a saint. But why is that? Because Christians have started hospitals to care for people who are sick and hurting and dying. It's Christians that have started adoption agencies and orphanages. It's Christians who have looked for ways to care for the down and out. It's Christians who have spoken up for those who are unborn and those who are at the other end of life, the elderly, who perhaps can't speak for themselves. Christians who speak up for the lowest. Why? Because who does Jesus come for? He comes for all. He comes for everyone. He dies for all. You can't out-low Jesus because he's already there. So if you think you're last, you just have to turn around and no, Jesus is right there. No, he's last. He's behind you. He's pushing you forward. Every day, you have the opportunity to not put yourself first. You don't have to be first in line. You don't have to have the best parking place. You don't have to have the best. You don't have to have the last word in an argument. And you can be intentional about that. You don't have to have your way. You don't have to be intentional about that, or you do have to be intentional about that, and you should be. You can practice putting others before yourself, and of course that starts at home, and it radiates out from there. And then what you discover is there's actually a community there. There's more people at the bottom than there are at the top. Everybody wants to talk. You can be a person who listens. You say, you know, I'm going to let them talk and I'll listen. Everybody wants to be first. You can let them. You can say, yeah, my value doesn't come in being first. My value comes for me in Christ. Now that will never be a popular message. And that's okay. Because no matter how low you go, Jesus is lower. And you'll discover he's right there with you. And that actually can bring a life of joy to yourself and contentment while you are of service to others. I'm going to end my sermon by telling you one more thing you need to know about a donkey. A donkey, only animal that has this, has a very prominent cross on its back. It has a dark line that runs along the spine, and another a line that runs across its shoulder, making a cross on the donkey's back. Only animal that has that. Coincidence? Hand of God is in all things. Jesus is Lord. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.